This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, March 23, 2022. Wednesday in the third week of Lent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
O Israel, hear the commandments and judgments which I teach thee.
The words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Those words by Moses to the people of Israel, they are not just an exhortation or an admonition for them to keep the commandments. It is actually a liturgical gathering. They are making promise. They are ratifying a covenant with God. And the part that they have to uphold is keeping the commandments and the judgment with which God has taught them. It is much more profound than just words. It is actually the way they are to live their lives. The people of God are supposed to live their lives according to the commandments, not just dot I's and cross T's about them. It is a matter of living out this whole idea of the commandments and judgments. This is why it just not left at the commandments, because then we could fall into this whole deal where we look at the commandments as the big 10. Well, there's only 10 rules. Well, actually, if you look at 10, if there's a thou shalt, there is a thou shalt not. So there's a positive and negative on each side. So there's 20. And then there's a lot of other precepts that our Lord has given. And throughout history of the church, the deposits of the faith, the traditions of the church, capital T, they are part of what our Lord speaks about here. Not particularly for the people of Israel, but for the people, because a lot of people disconnect. Oh, it's, well, not Israel. Oh, yeah, you are. Thus saith the Holy Spirit through St. Paul in Galatians. The true Israel of God is the Catholic Church. This is reality. So these things are directed to us, and we have to worry about more than they did, because we know what has been handed down to us in the deposit of the faith given us by our Lord Jesus Christ in his day, which came after this, of course, and also what the Holy Spirit has done throughout the church. So what they are required to do, we are required to do, and for the same reasons. Usually I wait till like the end of the homily to practically apply it. But as we go through this, we have to really look at what they say and immediately practically apply it, so we don't kind of, again, drift off in this whole, well, that was back in the day and we live now. Because the law, as I said, this is our way of life. The law is intimately connected. This is how Moses starts out. The law is intimately connected with the promises that God has given to the people of Israel, that promised land. For them, it was a real estate deal. You're in chattel slavery in Egypt. I've taken you out. You're wandering around the desert. And now you get to someplace nice. That's it for them. But they were really focused on the fact that God blessed them with this whole thing. How much more for us? Because we weren't in chattel slavery. We were in something much worse. We were in slavery to sin, bondage to sin completely. We're in bondage to sin. God comes. He releases us by his grace through his son, Jesus Christ, and his shed blood. And then we are to fulfill these promises because we have a person with whom we need to focus our attention. God showed the people of Israel love when he gave them the Ten Commandments. How much more love did he show us in the shed blood of his son, our Lord Jesus Christ? When we look at that shed blood, we have to understand that the promises that we embrace are not a real estate deal. They're eternity in heaven with God and the Blessed Mother and all of the angels and the saints. Just like the promised land was intimately connected with the law for Israel, the law is intimately connected with our eternal salvation. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ said in the gospel, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill the law. This is how much God cares about you. You can't fulfill it yourself. I am going to do it for you perfectly. And you, in union with me, in faith and obedience, you too will inherit what I inherit. My justice will be applied to you as if you did it yourself. You know, this is something that, I mean, it's hard, really hard to get your head around that one. That our Lord does for us everything that he receives by way of reward. We are co-heirs with Christ. You don't hear that term even legally in civil law much because people of their nature. You'll hear about joint heirs, they're like 50-50, but not co-heirs where everybody gets 100% of everything. Why? Because that legally, there's usually some argument about that. Somebody deserves more. Somebody did more. All kind of litigation goes on with it. We don't do co-heirs. We are co-heirs with Christ. It's kind of hard to, again, to think about all the rewards that our Lord Jesus has. We receive the same exact thing. If we maintain this life of faith and obedience, which in part and parcel is hearing the commandments and judgments, which he teaches us and doing them. Hence our Lord, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is how people know we love him. So we've got to understand that our Lord integrally places for the people of Israel. Look at the promised land. Don't look at this land around you. This land around them was a temptation for them, a temptation to false worship, maybe even a temptation to go back to Egypt. For over 400 years, they're in chattel slavery. God brings them out. They don't have to lift a finger. They come out of Egypt. And what do they do? It's the desert out here. We want to go back to Egypt because there's onions and leeks and all that good stuff back there. You want to be a slave? You want to be beaten for a mere bowl of pottage as Esau sold his birthright for? How can we be like that? To give away all the glorious things that our Lord provides for a pittance. How many souls, millions of souls, and yes, there are millions of souls in hell as we speak, and there are going to be many more millions in there later on. Okay, so let's just hold, jump that track so there might not be a hell and there's nobody in it. There are millions of souls in hell right now. How many souls are in hell because of 5 minutes of pleasure? They wanted something, or you know, something material that, you know, as soon as they breathed their last, it went away. Probably toward the last several months of their life, they didn't even pay attention to it anymore because they were dying. But they lost their souls because of their desire for these things. We're horrible like that. This is why in faith and obedience to Christ and in our embracing of him in the manifestation of our love for him and the keeping of the commandments, this is our eternal salvation, as I said before. We just like the people, he's got to point out to us, the world is not what you want to keep your eyes focused on. The world is a source of temptation for you. Keep my commandments because then you will inherit something so much better, something that's eternal. This is the emphasis. And it's just not, here are all these good things I'm going to give to you. He presents to us the consequences if we don't fulfill his commandments. We drop the ball so bad as a church in our day, in not talking about consequences. That first reading today, you know, if you had a bullet in front of you, you would notice Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1, and then 5 through 9. Me, wonder what's going on in verses 2, 3, and 4. Let us read, which we did not hear. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did to Baal-Phegor, for the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are all alive to this day. Consequences. Consequences. Do not add to or take away from the things I say or the things my mother may say. I don't need your help in adding things. If I tell you to do something, do that. Don't do more. We got a bad habit with that too. I mean, even some of the patriarchs, our father in the faith, our patriarch Abraham, you're going to have a son. And you're going to have more descendants than the stars of the sky or the sand on the sea. oh, I'm old and my wife's old, so he must mean with the slave girl Hagar. I'll help God out a little bit. I'm God. I don't need your help, Abraham. And Abraham, in doing what he did with that one, caused a whole lot of problem in his family and subsequently has caused a whole lot of problems in this world to this very day in the conflict between his two sons, Isaac and Ishmael, to this very day. It is not going to stop until Jesus comes back. That's what happens when we help, when we do more. We're not supposed to do more. We do what God says. Where the Pharisees were dropping the ball. I've given you these commandments and ordinances. Well, we're going to make some more up. There are like 623 different commandments that the people of Israel had to keep. That's a whole lot more than the 10 or the 20 if you want to do positive and negative. He doesn't need our help when it comes to this stuff. You just do what he says. You maintain the parameters that he gives. It says right here, don't add to or take away. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel, you shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Gives a consequence. If you don't keep these commandments, or as you teach others not to keep them. The last four verses of the Bible, two of their verses I shall read. Revelation 22. If any man shall add to these things, God shall add to him the plagues written in this book. And if any man take away from the words of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city. I always point out whenever we read Revelation chapter 22, where it does come up in the lectionary once every couple years, guess what verses they leave out? Those. That's an awful arrogant man that sat in some office and said, I think it'll be cool to take those verses out of the lectionary that say you're going to go to hell if you take any verses out of the lectionary or out of the book. There's consequences to that stuff. God doesn't do consequence. We have consequences in this world. We can't add to, because I said at the beginning of this, God is liturgically ratifying a covenant, a contract with us, with his people in Deuteronomy. He's ratifying a contract. How many of us could go out and buy a car or a house and they put the contract in front of you and say, you will pay this amount of money on this day and, this amount of interest and all this kind of stuff. Do you have any license to take that home and go, I don't want to pay that money every month. I think I'll do it every couple months. And I think I'll, and add to. And if I don't do it, maybe, if I don't do it, I don't pay you your money. You can't do anything to me. That's a ridiculous illustration. Yes, it is. Why isn't it any less ridiculous to think that we can add to or take away from the covenant God made with us? We wouldn't dare do it to the buy here, pay here car dealer guy. Okay. Wouldn't think about doing something like that. It would be inconceivable, but we do it with God all the time. Satan knows this. What was his first words out of his mouth to Eve? Hath God really said? And then the rest is history. We got serious problems when we do this. God has made this covenant with us, this treaty, this contract. We cannot add to it or take away from it. This is why we have to keep consequences. Do you ever teach your kids? And I'm not going to keep going on that whole thing with consequence, but it's so natural to us. It is so our nature. You don't teach your kids to look both ways to cross the street or hold your hand when they're learning how to cross the street. You don't say, okay, we're going to do this so you can safely get to the other side. What do you tell them? Why do we do this? Because if you don't, you'll get hit by a car. You don't do this because if you do it, you'll get a spanking in a good family. There's consequences to actions. This is a reality. We learn from that. When I was in the Marine Corps, 13 weeks of boot camp, I never heard one time, if you persevere through this, private, you'll get a really cool uniform at the end. Nah, that was never said. You don't do that right, I'll just leave that blank. There's always consequences. Okay, we learn better from that. Oh, I'm not going to like that. God knows our nature. If a parent knows your nature, your perfect Father in heaven does. So never lose sight of it. It's not bad to be confronted with the consequences that God has, and he does present consequences. We just don't hear about them a whole lot anymore. Hey, do this. This is Deuteronomy. Keep the commandments. Your eyes have seen all that the Lord has done. But you are alive this present day. Consequences, but blessings for those who keep it. You saw how I destroyed them. God doesn't do things like that. Oh, yeah, he does all the time. Read 2 Thessalonians. He's going to do some more. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We should be ecstatic that this God has called us to himself. At the end of Deuteronomy, neither is there any other nation that hath God so nigh them as our God is present with us. You know, his presence with us, you know, the nations back in there, they had gods, Baal, Figor, and all these guys like that. You know, what was their rules? What did they do? Oh, you got to give him sacrifice. You got to sacrifice your children because he'll be mad at us if we don't. You got to bring food for him because if we don't, he'll be angry with us and he'll cause famines and stuff like that. Our God, all he ever wants us to do is to know what's positive for us. Please remember this one. I say it a lot. And I do it on purpose. A lot of things I say a lot, I do it on purpose. So you always go, oh, yeah, that's what he did. The commandments were not given us to make us good. They were given to us because they are good for us. That's the reality. This is what God's saying. I care about you. I don't want you to get hit when you cross the street. I don't want you to have to get a spanking. You do this and you avoid that. Do what I say. This is what it is. That last verse in Deuteronomy that was read today, verse 9. When you look at that verse, only take heed and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen. Don't forget. Memory. Memory what God has done in the past. Memory of what he has told us to do. Memory. That's called tradition. Tradition isn't a stodgy thing that has to do with pipe organs, investments, or how the priest stands. Tradition is remembering what God did and what he has done throughout the life of the church for over 2,000 years. We are directed, Old and New Testament, to remember these things. That's what tradition is. That's why we do what we do. This is why we should keep the commandments. Not to be good little boys and girls, but because they're good for us. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.